لله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد. So to proceed with this lesson, I believe it is the 14th lesson, alhamdulillah, of this reading that we're doing through Al-Usul al-Thalatha, or the three fundamental principles of Islam, by the great Imam, the Mujaddid, Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab al-Tamimi rahimahullahu ta'ala. And we have reached the part in the book, in the last lesson, in which we spoke about what are the usul al-thalatha, or what are these three fundamental principles, these usul al-thalatha, these three fundamental principles in which this compiled book has been titled. So these usul al-thalatha, or these three fundamental principles or foundational principles, then indeed these are based upon those questions which every slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be asked about in the grave. And we discussed that this is from the belief in the unseen. This is from our belief in the unseen, which every Muslim, male and female, must have correct belief in. Everyone that hopes to be from the mu'minun, from the believers, from the muttaqun, the people of taqwa, then they must have the correct belief in all of the affairs that have come in the unseen. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, in the beginning or opening of Surah Al-Baqarah, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. So the first and foremost description which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the believers with, in which He said, that which means that is the book which has no doubt in it. It is a guidance for the muttaqeen, the guidance for the people of taqwa. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, those who have iman in the ghayb, in the unseen. And this is, again, this is the first description that Allah described the people of taqwa with. So in order for us to be from those people and have that sharaf, or that nobility and that virtue which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described, then we must actualize our belief in the unseen correctly. And there is no means to believe in the unseen except by means of the wahi, except by means of the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For indeed that is the only connection that we have with understanding Allah and what Allah has legislated. So it is not for any of us, no matter what our status might be, no matter what our age might be, to come and claim that there is anything in the unseen, or that exists without any, outside of our realm of knowledge, except that which has come in the authentic texts of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So as the Imam said, addressing the first question, فَإِذَا قِيلَ لَكَ مَا الْأُصُولَ الثَّلَاثَ, or when he mentioned and described these three in general, he said, مَا الْأُصُولَ الثَّلَاثَ أَلَّتِي يَجِبُ عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ مَعْرِفَتِهَا. If it is said to you, what are those three principles that it is obligatory upon the person to know? Then say, فَقُلْ مَعْرِفَةُ الْعَبْدِ رَبَّهُ وَدِينَهُ وَنَبِيَّهُ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. that knowing that the slave knows his Lord, that the slave knows his religion, and that the slave knows his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we read about the first question in which the Imam said, فَإِذَا قِيلَ لَكَ مَنْ رَبُّكَ. So when it is said to you, who is your Lord? فَقُلْ. Then say, رَبِّي اللَّهِ الَّذِي رَبَّانِي وَرَبَّ جَمِيعَ الْعَالَمِينَ بِنِعْمِهِ. Say that my Lord is Allah, the one who has cultivated me and cultivated all of the عالمين, all of the creation, all of the universe with his blessings. So this is that first question that everyone will be asked in their grave. And as has come in the narrations, that the names of those two angels that will come are Munkar and Nakir. And the Imams of the Salaf, they make specific reference and mention the names of these angels who will come. And they do this due to their following of the texts. So they could have just sufficed by saying the angels have come, the angels will come. But the Imams of the Salaf, they would mention these names as it is names which have been informed to us. And likewise, that the statement of the Imam, فَإِذَا قِيلَ لَكَ, and if it is asked of you, or if it is said to you, then indeed we know that this is something which is no doubt. This is not something that we would understand to be if this happens. But know, for indeed, with complete true surety, then we know that this is when this happens. Meaning when this is said to you, who is your Lord? Then you must answer, رَبِّي اللَّهِ. And the proof of the Imam, after stating that he is the one whom I worship and there is no one worthy of worship except him, he said the proof is the statement of Allah, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, that all praise is for Allah, Rabbul Alameen. And everything other than Allah is an island. وَأَنَا وَاحِدْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ الْعَالَمِ. So everything other than Allah is from that which is created. And when the scholars explain this, such as Shaykh al-Fawzan or Shaykh ibn al-Thaymeen, rahimahullah, Shaykh al-Thaymeen, wa hafidhahullah, Shaykh al-Fawzan, they describe these alam, that these are like the world of mankind, and the world of the jinn, the world of the animals, or the world of the jamadat, those things around us which have no intellect, such as the rocks and the trees, that all of these are the different alameen. So Allah is the creator of everything, and everything other than Allah is from the alameen. And the Imam continued, فَإِذَا قِيلَ لَكَ بِمَا عَرَفْتَ رَبَّكَ. And if it is said to you, or when it is said to you, how do you know your Lord? فَقُلْ بِآيَاتِهِ وَمَخْلُوقَاتِهِ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ وَمِنْ مَخْلُوقَاتِهِ السَّمَاوَاتُ السَّبْعُ وَالْأَرْضُونَ السَّبْعُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنَّ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا. Then say, meaning say that I know my Lord with his ayat, by his ayat, and by his makhluqat, by that which is created. So from his signs, from his ayat, are al-laylu wa al-nahar, the night and the day, and the sun and the moon. And from his creations are the samawatu sabr, the seven heavens, or the seven skies, and the seven earths, and whoever is in them, and whoever is in between them, whoever is in the heavens, and whoever is in the earth, and whoever is between the heavens or skies and the earth. So all of these are from the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Imam here, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, he makes mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ayat, his signs. And as the scholars of Ahl Sunnah, they explain that the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are that which is signs from Allah's creation. These are those ayat kawniyah, or those signs related to the creation. And these are from those tremendous things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created and had no partner in creating them. And the Imam gives examples of that, and we will discuss some of them in detail. And likewise, the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are that which is his ayat al-shar'iyah, or his signs which are related to the sharia. And these, of course, are the ayat al-Qur'aniyah. These are his verses that he revealed from the Qur'an, which no doubt is a complete, perfect, and true sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's right to be worshipped alone without any partner. So the creation of these tremendous things that we see around us, and those other things which he created which we cannot even see, and likewise the verses which he sent down to whomsoever he willed from his prophets and messengers whom he selected from mankind. وَالدَّلِيلُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى. And the proof is the statement of Allah, meaning the proof of these tremendous creations, is the statement of Allah Ta'ala, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارِ وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرِ لَا تَسْجُدُوا لِلشَّمْسِ وَلَا لِلْقَمَرِ وَاسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُنَّ إِن كُنْتُمْ إِيَّاهُ تَعْبُدُونَ. And from his ayat and from his signs are the night and the day and the sun and the moon. From his signs are the night and the day and the sun and the moon. So this tremendous day which we have and this night that we have are both from those great creations of Allah. And there is no doubt the uncountable blessings which exist in having the night and the day, and that it has in it tremendous benefits for the creation, that it has in the day and night each that which the slave needs. So he needs the light and the warmth to seek his sustenance, and he likewise needs the night for rest. He needs the night for rest. And this, that the changing of the day and night is a constant cycle that doesn't end until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will decree the end of time, or establish the end of time, which he already knows about. And likewise, how the day and the night, as they change, they are never out of course. You never find that a day is 12 hours and then immediately it'll shift and the night is 6 hours and then the day is 2 hours. But no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation is perfect and it continues in the cycle which he subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained for it. Likewise, الشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ. These are from those great, wonderful signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which have tremendous benefits for the creation. So the sun, it provides us with this tremendous and great warmth. And this light, its rays reach and illuminate everything on the earth in which the rays reach. Despite it being so far away. So this indeed is from those great signs of Allah. And it's not that the sun ever does not come out at its appointed time. Rather, it remains in its course as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created it. And the moon is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created to illuminate the night. And it sticks to and remains in its cycles, which Allah has decreed for us to use it as a hisab, for us to be able to track the dates and how the days and nights and months pass. But likewise, a beautiful benefit which Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen mentioned regarding the sun, is the tremendous ether that it has, or the effects that it has, in order for the slave to gain his amwal, to gain his wealth. That the sun has in it many great effects, which allows Bani Adam, or the people of Adam, or the children of Adam, to seek their amwal, seek their sustenance, and seek their wealth. And this is from the great benefits of the Muslim, and the person of Sunnah especially, that he takes those asbab, that he utilizes these means which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, in order for us to be those who are strong. It's for us to be those from those who are strong. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these tremendous creations to use for our benefit, to use for our benefit, so that we may get closer to Him. And this was the way of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they would make badlul asbab, they would implement the means, and they would seek to be strong Muslims. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, al-mu'min al-qawi khayrun wa ahabbu ila Allah min al-mu'min al-da'if, that the believer who is strong is better and more beloved to Allah than the weak believer. وَفِي كُلٍ خَيْرٍ, and in all of them is good. But the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would strive to be from the aqwiya. And of course, the heads of the Sahaba and the imams of the Sahaba were Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma. Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma. And our Shaykh Muhammad Al-Anjari, hafidhahullah, he gave some beautiful advice recently to our brothers in Singapore, so I would advise anyone listening that they try and get that recording and that lesson which the Shaykh had given for the brothers, because he brought out and pointed out and mentioned many benefits that we get from Abu Bakr and Umar, and we can see their strength in all aspects, or many aspects of life, that they were the strongest and the best example to follow in everything. As the Prophet ﷺ ordered, اقتدوا بالذين من بعدي, Abu Bakr wa Umar. But the Prophet ﷺ ordered, اقتدوا, meaning take as role models, or emulate, closely follow, those two who come after me, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma. So indeed, this is the order of the Prophet ﷺ, that we follow their way, and that we take them as examples. And indeed, all of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were upon khayr, and they are those whom Allah was pleased with. And we seek to take the best examples, especially when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered us to do so. Continuing with the verse, لا تسجدوا للشمس. After Allah mentioned these tremendous ayat, these tremendous signs, that He alone is the creator of everything that exists, لا تسجدوا للشمس ولا للقمر. Do not prostrate, do not make sujood to the sun, nor the moon, but rather make sujood to Allah. واسجدوا لله الذي خلقهن إِن كُنْتُمْ إِيَّاهُ تَعْبُدُونَ. Rather, make sujood to Allah, the one who created them, if indeed you worship Him. So, these are from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that prove His rububiyyah, prove that He alone is the Lord and creator and sustainer of all that exists. And likewise, Allah has used those proofs of His rububiyyah to emphasize that He alone is worthy of Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. Allah has established clearly and directly that because He is the one who has created all of these great things, the sun and the moon and the night and the day, that those things should not be made sujood to. Those things may not be worshipped, but rather worship the one who has created them. إِن كُنْتُمْ إِيَّاهُ تَعْبُدُونَ. If indeed you are worshippers of him. So this is a direct order from Allah that we establish the Tawheed for him alone. All of our worship must be sincerely and purely for him alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this, of course, was the da'wah and the call of all of the prophets and messengers, that they would mention and teach and remind their people of Allah's rububiyyah and the great signs of his rububiyyah, that he is the one and only Lord and creator and sustainer and controller of everything, but that this rububiyyah, this lordship of Allah, necessitates his uluhiyyah. It necessitates that we turn to him without any partner in all of our worship. وَقَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى. And the second proof that this great Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab is mentioning, إِنَّ رَبَّكُمُ اللَّهِ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامِ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ يُغْشِ اللَّيْلَ النَّهَارَ يَطْلُبُهُ حَثِيثًا وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ وَالنُّجُومَ مُسَخَّرَاتٍ بِأَمْرِهِ أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمَرُ تَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Indeed, your Lord is Allah, the one who has created the skies or the heavens and the earth. فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ, in 6 days. And this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hikmah. If Allah willed, he could have created everything that exists in a single moment. All he would have had to do is say kun, say be, and it would be, if he willed, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But indeed, from his wisdom, he showed the creation the taking of, or gave an example to the creation for the taking of asbab, implementing the means. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he created this creation that we see around us in 6 days due to his complete and perfect wisdom. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. And then he rose above the throne. Then he rose above the throne. And this is a tremendous point of the aqidah of the Sunni, the Salafi, that the Imams of the Sunnah, they would mention this in detail in their books of i'tiqad. Whenever the people of innovation and desires would try and innovate and twist and tamper with and distort the correct aqidah of Islam, the Imams of the Sunnah would clarify it and distinguish the difference between the correct belief of the Sunnah, that which the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were upon, and the difference between that which the people of bid'ah and innovations were upon. So this istiwa, this rising above the throne, this again is from Allah's af'al. This is from Allah's actions, which he does whenever he wills due to his wisdom. These are from those actions which Allah wills to do, and it is due to his wisdom. When he chooses to do an action, then it is when he sees fit, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this istiwa is a real rising. It is a real rising over the throne. And it is not something which is figurative. And it is not something which is imaginary. And it is from those matters which we must submit to in our belief. And we do not ask how, and we don't ask why. It's not for us to think, why did Allah do this? Because, as we said, this is due to Allah's wisdom alone, and no one has comprehension of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom except that from his wisdom which he revealed to us. And we cannot ask how he did it. We do not ask how he did it. And likewise, we don't make tamthil. We don't try and compare Allah's rising over the throne to the rising of any of the creation. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely distinct and different and perfect from all of the creation. And likewise, this is from the proofs that Allah is separate from his creation. As the Imams of the Sunnah would say, that he is ba'in min khalqi, that he was clearly distinct and separate from his creation. So this arsh, this throne, this is that great tremendous throne, and the word, the arsh, in linguistically means like a chair or a throne, and we know that it has pillars which the angels carry, as is mentioned in the Quran, in Surah Haqqa, that it is carried by eight angels. And this arsh, it is the saqf al-maqlubin, it is the highest of all of the creation. It is the highest of the creation, and there is nothing from the creation that is a ceiling over it. And this arsh, which is more the expansive than all of the heavens and the earth, it, as mentioned, is merely another one of the creation of Allah. So even though it is the greatest, most tremendous of Allah's creation, that it is still one of the creation, and it is in need of Allah, and Allah is not in need of it. Allah is not in need of His arsh, but rather is His arsh is in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep it firm and to keep it established, just like the skies and the earth. يغشى الليل النهار يطلبه حثيثا. So the night and the day, they overtake one another repeatedly and continuously, chasing each other, repeating. And the sun and the moon and the stars, all of them مُسَخَّرَاتٍ بِأَمْرِ, all of them are subservient to His order. So all of this creation, the great sun, the moon, and all of the stars, all of them are مُسَخَّرَات, they are all in that path which Allah has ordered them with and prescribed them with due to His order. And there, it is not for any of these creation to go off track or to deviate from their path which Allah has appointed for it, except by His permission alone. And in finishing the verse, Allah said, أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمَرُ تَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Indeed, for Him is the creation and the amr, the creation and the order. Tabarakallahu Rabbul Alameen. Glorified is Allah, Lord of all of the creation. So this, again, this part of this verse is from those verses which the Imams of the Salaf, they would make istidlal with, meaning they would use it as a proof to establish and demonstrate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is the one who has the khalq and the amr. So He alone has created all of the creation, and for Him alone is the amr, the order. This is the Qur'an. This is the Qur'an. So this is from the proofs of the Salaf would use to show that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah and it is not created. Because Allah separated and distinguished Himself between His khalq and His amr. So that which Allah has created is completely different and separate from what Allah ordered. So Allah's order is His speech, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tabarakallahu Rabbul Alameen. Glorified is Allah, Rabbul Alameen. And we'll end this session, inshallah, and continue next time. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Inshallah, we'll continue next time.